Said my get up and go must have got up and went, but it brought you right back here, didn't it? To Backtracks, Aerosmith Revisited. My name is Corey Morissette, joined as always by the one and only, the most popular man in Great Britain, John Mariano. How are you this fine day, sir?
Good day, mate.
That's Australian, actually.
I don't travel much, Corey.
And I only brought up Great Britain because we hit the charts in Great Britain not that long ago. We had a top 20 show on iTunes in Great Britain. So the Brits love John Mariano. It's amazing.
Well, respectfully, I love the Brits. I love all countries. I just don't get to go anywhere ever. I'm stuck here in New York.
I could think of worse places to be stuck, John. I'm stuck in Saskatchewan. We just had a massive blizzard in the middle of April with 3 feet of snow. That really sucked. I would rather be in New York where there's something interesting happening all the time.
Corey, it's like June or July at this point. What are you talking about?
I'm still traumatized by April. Okay. I know that was a few months ago, but man, that was awful.
You know, here I am, and I'm trying to pull the curtain back. And back where it belongs. And you're sitting there going, no, John, no. We got to tell everybody our business and let them know when we're recording. And it's April right now, and we're releasing this months from now. And that's fine, Corey. That's fine if that's the life you want to live.
Dude,
I refuse to live that life.
You are so bitter. Get out of the bitter barn and come play in the hay. Just live a little. Come on.
Well, in the real world, we just released the Oh Yeah episode. So there you go, folks. There's your reality check. As of right now, you guys have listened to Oh Yeah Live, but we're recording this episode tonight, and we don't even know what song we're going to discuss yet. But before we discuss that song, why don't we go ahead and plug our friend Ken Knapsack?
Let's do that, but I should point out, this is now 11 songs ahead of what we just released. This is show 17. We released show 6 2 days ago. Okay, Ken Knapsack. Ken Knapsack's Pop Rock and Radio, the big hits, album cuts, and B-sides from the rock and pop world that make up the soundtracks of our lives. Look for live shows and make requests. Sing, dance, and celebrate the music with the Pop Rockin' Radio community, featuring fine folks like Lauren and Jeff and Christy and Old Handsaw and my good buddy John Mariano. If you want to interact with John, if you need more John in your life like everybody should, catch him on Wednesdays and Saturdays in the chat at Pop Rockin' Radio, requesting awful, awful music, I'm sure.
Oh, I request all kinds of stuff. I have a very eclectic taste. And it's funny because I don't think I've nearly requested enough Aerosmith, but Aerosmith doesn't necessarily fit the vibe of his show most nights. And that's not a bad thing. There's so much music out there. But tonight we're here to celebrate one of the greatest American bands of all time, Aerosmith.
That's right. And this was a conversation on Twitter that we were having. Someone had posted the top 5 American bands. And of course, a lot of votes for Van Halen, a lot of votes for Kiss, but you got to put Aerosmith in that conversation as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it's absolutely, like, I was shocked Aerosmith wasn't there. I don't even know if the Eagles were there. And there's a couple of bands I thought deserved to be in that conversation that weren't being discussed. And I don't know where that conversation was going, but I don't think it's as open and shut. The Doors weren't there.
Right.
You know, and
who else would you put on there in your top 5? Who else would be there?
I don't know. For my top 5, Aerosmith, The Doors, I put Metallica there, and they weren't in that conversation.
But I would absolutely put them there as well.
I absolutely put Metallica there. And then I'm kind of hard pressed, right? Because I do like a lot of that Seattle scene. But, like, my musical taste is a little bit different than most. Like, I love Typo Negative. Do I think that they're a top 5 band of all time? No, because they're not mainstream and most people don't like them. I adore them. And they're an American band, so they fit that mold. Mm-hmm. I would put the Ramones in there. I don't know that people would argue that a band that plays 3 chords over and over again deserves to be in that conversation. You could argue that Kiss goes there, but I feel like Kiss is more about their marketing. Their music's great, but I feel like they're more about their marketing than their music. So I'm hard pressed to put them as a top five band. So then I go like, do I go Fleetwood Mac? Because I love Fleetwood Mac. Mm-hmm. You know, I can give you my top three, because my top three are absolutely locked in with the three I said. Van Halen, I think, deserves to be in the top five. And then you can argue which one belongs at five. I'm going to throw Nirvana in there, because I think Nirvana, in a lot of ways, changed the world and changed music as we know it for a long period of time. Had a voice of its own. And for all those reasons, I'm going to make my fifth band Nirvana.
And it's a good choice. The argument against that would be just longevity. They weren't around that long. Only had a couple of mainstream albums. For me, my top three are pretty locked in. Van Halen, Aerosmith, obviously. I do podcasts on those. And Metallica, I put at number three. Kiss, I think, deserves to be there just because of their influence. They're kind of a dyslexic band for me. The stuff I love with Kiss, I really love. The stuff I hate, I really hate. There's so much bad stuff in that catalog. It's tough to really quantify it, but you can put them in the top five just for longevity's sake and for the influence they had on music. Five is where things get tough for me. I know a lot of people throw out Guns N' Roses. I love me some GNR. Like, Appetite is obviously one of the best albums of all time, but there's so much not so great stuff on The Usual Illusions and on Chinese Democracy, and even kind of the newer stuff like Hard School and things like that, I don't find myself really enjoying. Although I saw them in concert on the Not In This Lifetime tour. It was one of the best shows I'd ever seen. So I'm kind of conflicted on them as well.
Well, what makes them tough, and you know, Guns N' Roses was one of my favorite concerts I've ever been to, mm-hmm. one of my favorite all-time bands. Bell to Bell, I will put Appetite for Destruction up against any album in any conversation.
Agreed.
And I think that becomes the problem with the band, though, is that most of the songs that we think of great Guns N' Roses songs come off of that album. Yeah. The Usual Illusions, I might enjoy more of the songs and more of the deeper cuts than you do. I do think that Estranged is one of the greatest American songs ever written.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. And there's Patience, but they have a lot of cover songs they've released. I think they're kind of a mess after The Usual Illusions. And so you're talking about like three and a half studio albums that they're known for. So it's very hard for me to put them as a top five band because of that. And that one album, I put up against any other album that would go on that list.
Absolutely. And you know what? It just occurred to me who I'd probably put at number five, even though it's kind of more of a solo deal, but Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, I think, deserve to be in that conversation.
I think that is an excellent choice too. I think you can argue what the top five are, but there's going to be maybe 10 to 15 bands that are in that rotation, in that conversation, that are deserving of being in that conversation.
Absolutely.
And Aerosmith is one of them.
You're exactly right. Although the last song we did, John, not very indicative of how great that band is. We did Shame on You from Done With Mirrors. Neither of us were a big fan. We found it kind of dull, lifeless, boring, paint by numbers. It was just kind of a blues jam with some improv lyrics. So you and your infinite wisdom decided to put another Done With Mirror song on the die. So we got a couple. This would be the third if it comes up. But we have a theme going on the dice right now. Three of the songs follow a similar theme. You want to recap what's on the die right now, John?
Oh, I certainly will. We do have Cheesecake, which is your selection. We have You Gotta Move, your selection.
Yep.
And we have Walking the Dog, your selection?
Yes.
And then we have Sick as a Dog, my selection. Mm-hmm. The Reason a Dog, my selection. And it could honestly be a very painful two back-to-back episodes for our listeners. We will find out shortly. The Beatles cover Helter Skelter.
So, yeah, a lot of obscure cuts on the dice right now. Sick as a Dog was on a live bootleg, so a lot of folks not know that. Walking the Dog was kind of a live staple for a while. Helter Skelter, obviously everyone knows from the Beatles. But Cheesecake, You Gotta Move, and The Reason a Dog, not very well known. So don't be surprised if five people listen to this episode, John.
Look, I am not here to draw in ratings. I am here to get songs done.
And you want to blow through Done With Mirrors as fast as humanly possible, don't you?
Look, if we can escape with our lives on this one, I will be happy.
All right, what do you say? Let's roll the dice and see what we come up with. Will it involve a dog? Let's find out. And we are going to get Cheesecake. So it's not dog related, but we're getting Cheesecake from Night in the Ruts. And I put it on there because A, we hadn't had a song from Night in the Ruts yet. And B, I was hungry. John, do you know anything about this track?
I know I've listened to it before. I have a feeling it's not actually about food. You know, from what I remember about it. And I feel like I do skip it sometimes when my kids are in the car. So I think we should give it a listen. And maybe I'm remembering it to be a little bit more tawdry than I think, or maybe my mind's just a little bit twisted like that, but let's see how this goes.
Night in the Ruts was released on November 16th, 1979. Only one single from this album was Remember Walking in the Sand, which was a cover of the Shangri-La song. Cheesecake is the fourth cut on side A of Night in the Ruts. For all you vinyl lovers out there, written by Steven Tyler and Joe Perry. And that's really all I know about it. So let's give it a spin. This is Cheesecake from Night in the Ruts. All right. I love some slide guitar. Give me some Joe Perry slide guitar at the beginning of any song, and I'm already smiling.
You know, you're talking about the slide guitar. This song oozes Aerosmith's sex appeal on a level we have not heard yet. Like, not just lyrically, but musically and everything. Like, this is one of their sexiest songs that they probably have.
It almost feels like Steven Tyler is doing it right now while you're listening to this song. It drips of sex. I met a babe in a backseat, driving back in the saddle, she'd sit, pulled on the reins just to keep me rising. She loved to chomp at the bit. And then a whole refrain of daddy, do it. Ooh, just do it. Wow.
This song feels like the humidity in your car that you left the windows rolled up and had sex in. And like the aftermath of sex and the sex stank, that's this song.
Remember the scene in Titanic? When Jack and Rose were in the car and the windows were all fogged up and her hand hit the window and kind of slid down, they were listening to Cheesecake. They weren't doing anything. They were just listening to this song.
Yeah, but I feel like you went very Victorian on me, and I feel like this has more of a late 70s New York Studio 56 kind of vibe.
Oh, yeah. Well, I can see that. I get the feeling it's going to get more tawdry as we go along. Let's check it out.
Let's go.
All right, now we mentioned on the Just Push Play episode, everything was overproduced and kind of electronic. Here we got the band just playing. You know, another dirty blues type groove, but the bass comes through nice. The rhythm guitar sounds great. Again, I love the drum sound. Like Joey's snare sounds great. The rhythm section really pulling it off here.
What year was that in the Ruts?
1979.
Yeah. So you have, we listened to a song that was released, 6 years later last week, and feels like it's maybe an eighth of what the song is production wise. Mm-hmm. Right. And what's funny is this just feels like this is just the band allowed to play. Like it doesn't need to be produced. They could have just as easily recorded this at a bar somewhere and been playing, and it's just raw and gritty and real. And look, this is Aerosmith, you know, going on all cylinders.
And this is Stank personified. Oh my God. So yeah. Cheesecake, looser than her sister. Cheesecake, her sugar gets me high. She knows I can't resist her. Cheesecake, got my fingers in her pie. He's not subtle.
No. Oh no, this is not like, there is nothing he's hiding here. Well, 2 weeks ago, they were bleeping like, fuck it, in Just For Play. And honestly, how is that more offensive to radios than anything in this? This song is basically a porno to your ears.
You're exactly right. I mean, I'm looking around making sure my kids don't walk up here so they accidentally hear Cheesecake from 1979 is, oh my God. Everybody kissed her, Cheesecake, oh, at the crack of dawn. Again, he's not subtle. Whatever you're talking about, crack and cheesecake, I think he can put two and two together.
Now, it sounds like we're going into a bit of an instrumental here, but I almost expected a jacked up guitar going in there, and they really turned it on its head, rolling with the drums. What, how do you feel about that, Corey?
I was kind of with you. It was kind of building to something, right? Yeah. Almost like an orgasm. We're building to something, and then it comes right back down. So, you know, maybe this is how Steven Tyler likes his lovemaking, right? Get him to the brink and then bring him right back down.
This is what you call that tantric shit.
I think I was listening to a Sting song or something, for fuck's sakes. But this song is basically just auditory fucking at this point. This is the part where you're thinking about baseball. Yeah, keep on going. Now we're building back up again. We thought about baseball. We're starting to pump a little harder now.
Yeah, it's weird. It almost turns the idea of a guitar solo on its head a little bit, where you get a musical interlude, a little jacked up guitar towards the end of it. And I don't hate it, Corey. Like, I really feel a lot of stuff going on this song, while not like Aerosmith by the numbers, is definitive Aerosmith.
I tell you, musically, very impressed. And I'm reading a quote from Joe Perry from his autobiography where he said he thought he caught some of the best tracks they'd ever done on this album. The guitar interplay between him and Brad broke new ground. Everyone was at the top of their game, but when it came to the lyrics, that's where Steven began to slowly drift away. And I kind of get that. Lyrically, it's very simple and just very blatant and very dirty. But musically, there's a lot going on here. And I do hear that interplay between Joe and Brad, you know, going between the lead and the rhythm. And it sounds great.
Yeah, it's funny because I like a lot of the not-so-subtle lyrics. But here we're going to get into them just singing the word cheesecake over and over again.
Yep.
And this to me, and we're gonna listen to how it plays out. It feels a little bit like the fade out that we got last week of, oh, how do we end it? Oh, let's just sing cheesecake over and over again.
Yeah, no, I agree. Let's finish off. Well, how much do we have left here? You're 324 and we got 52 seconds left. I need a cigarette now. That was Cheesecake from Night in the Ruts. John, what did you think?
I think musically a lot more complex than lyrically. I think you nailed it with that. But man, like, I think that the music does outweigh the lyrics in ways that make up for it, right? It doesn't need to be as lyrically strong as some of the other songs we've heard. Is it going to be a top Aerosmith song? No, but I think musically alone, this has staying power.
I agree totally. Wasn't sure what to expect, especially when you hear Night in the Ruts, because that was kind of the last album before Joe and Brad left the band. There wasn't a ton of, you know, there wasn't a hit off that album. You look at the, you know, No Surprise, Chiquita, Remember, Cheesecake, 3 Mile Smile, Reefer Head Woman, the infamous Bone to Bone, Coney Island Whitefish Boy, Think About It, and Mia. So really no standouts, nothing that they've certainly done in concert since 1979. But I didn't hate Cheesecake.
But what's funny is, like, you're listening to those songs, and a lot of those are in my heavy rotation of songs I listen to.
Really?
So while they're not, like, radio plays, like, I think kind of like this song, we're going to get some really good, deep cuts off this album.
I think so too. I was a fan of Cheesecake. Like you said, you know, I don't see it making the final 18, but it's going to have some staying power because the band sounded great. Lyrically, I feel a little dirty. Like I said, I'm going to go have a cigarette, but there's a lot to like in Cheesecake, and it certainly could have been a lot worse. It could have been last week's show. It could have been Shame on You, and it wasn't. So I'm happy about that. So John, now it's my turn to pick something to put on the dice.
Gosh. Do you know which direction you're going in?
I'm thinking live cut, to be honest with you. And I'm thinking because we have so much obscure stuff on the dice right now with Helter Skelter, You Gotta Move, and in the three dog songs, that I'm thinking we almost need something recognizable to kind of keep the people interested. And I'm thinking, geez, I might go a little South of Sanity here.
Yeah.
And I might go with a little something from that album called Sweet Emotion.
Oh, are we going there already?
We are. You know what? I feel the dice need it because we got the three dog songs, we got a Bobo song, and we got a Beatles cover. So I really feel like we need some star power on there.
So what you're concerned about is the ratings might be tanking a little bit right now, and you're calling in The Rock to like save the franchise.
Basically, yeah, the Rock's doing a run out, but again, I could go with the Pandora's Box version because I think that's maybe the ultimate version of Sweet Emotion, but that is such a live staple, and I hadn't heard the live. I've heard the live version on Classics Live quite a few times, but I'm trying to think if I really enjoyed the live version on A Little South of Saturday or not. And I really enjoy that live album. Obviously it was, you know, kind of a thrown together thing to finish off a recording contract with Columbia, and it featured a lot of the Geffen songs, but I seem to remember liking the version of Sweet Emotion on there. So we're going to go specifically with the A Little South of Saturday version of Sweet Emotion.
I like that you're throwing a song on there that you know is going to be there to the end. You just don't know if it's going to be this version.
That's right. It could, in my heart, I'm thinking the Pandora's Box remix might be better, but it's about time we get a live track on there, I think. So, all right, John, as we wrap it up here tonight, is there anything you want to plug?
I would love to plug some more pop, rock, and radio, and I would love to plug going to bed early. I feel like we don't get enough sleep at night, and I am exhausted because we do record three of these a night, Corey, when you call me in, and we are on our third show, wrapping up our third show, and you started tonight by pulling back the curtain, and I'm closing it out by pulling back the curtain, and my curtain is closing for the night, and I am sleeping in because my kids are off tomorrow.
That's right. As you're listening to this in June, we're recording this in April. And it's Good Friday tomorrow, so everybody is getting a break. I got an extended break because we had a massive snowstorm in April because Canada, why not? But John, this was show 17, which means next week we're going to have a special guest on the show. And I'm really looking forward to this one. If anyone out there has checked out the Deep Dive Podcast Network, which we are proud to be a member of, there's a show on there called The Magician's Podcast, the Uriah Heep podcast, and Scott from that show is going to be on our show. I am very much looking forward to that. He's a big Aerosmith fan. He gets to pick all six songs on the die, and I can tell you right now he's got some really cool selections on there. You do not want to miss next week's show. It's going to be a ton of fun.
And in the meantime, we know we have some Sweet Emotion in our future thanks to Corey. Corey, why don't you close out by plugging you and Mark and sending it home with Mr. Tyler.
Well, I'd be happy to. Mark Kamire and I do a little show called And the Podcast Will Rock, where you're breaking down the Van Halen catalog one track at a time. We've had a ton of guests on there as well. More coming, including someone from the Van Halen news desk, which I'm very much looking forward to. That is going to be a great show. So you can catch us wherever you find your podcast. If you're a fan of Van Halen, hopefully you'll dig that show as well. And thank you, as always, for joining John and I on this show, especially if you're from Great Britain. Very happy to be on the charts there. I know John is already planning a trip over to Great Britain to sign some autographs, so be on the lookout for that. I'm sure he's going to have more details about that next week. But until then, on behalf of John Mariano, my name is Corey Morissette. And as always, let's give Steven Tyler the final word.